Yeah, I know. Things are tough all over. When the thunderstorms start increasing over the southeast and south central portions of my apartment, I get upset. And a line of thunderstorms was developing in the early morning hours ahead of a slow-moving cold front. Cold blood. With tornado watches issued shortly before noon Sunday for the areas including western region of my mental health and the northern portion of my ability to deal rationally with my disconcerting, precarious emotional situation. Cold out there. Colder than a ticket taker's smile at the Ivor Theater on Saturday night. Flash flood watches cover the southern portion of my disposition.
Yeah.
There was no severe weather early in the afternoon, except for kind of a lone gust wind in the bedroom.
And, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Monday edition. We are... It's the 30th day of January, ladies and gentlemen, and it's great to be here with you for the next hour and 50 minutes. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and I am The Witness. And you can go to my website, IamTheWitness.com. Lots of information there. This is a information program, ladies and gentlemen. If you're here for entertainment, you tuned into the wrong show. This is the show where we are digging the depths of all the mess we're in, and boy, are we in one. And, I got to tell you, the amount of attacks that are being done against my website, just my computer. I'll give you a good example. Saturday night, I cleaned my entire computer and relaunched the whole system because I had so many viruses. Now, I have the most up-to-date Norton virus control system, brand new, all the updates, all the uplogs, everything. I relaunched everything brand new from my computer. And I've already got 23 viruses on my computer with the Norton software. So, Norton, you guys aren't doing a very good job. either that or the people sending me viruses are doing the newer ones, you know, or whatever. I don't know. But my thing's just blinking and jumping and Jesus. But that's neither here nor there. Also, a lot of attempts to blunt the message, get the message kind of messed up here. You know, they're coming out in force. And what I've been discovering lately, and we're going to talk to my guest today, who is my partner, my writing partner, my research partner, and my co-worker here on for the truth is Eric Huffschmidt. And Eric and I have been honest about the things we've looked into. Honest to the nines here. We look into it. We find something. We ask questions. Many times people mistake questions for accusations. Questions are not accusations. However, what they are is things that make you go, Things like crypto-Zionists involved in the 9/11 movement. Well, what's a crypto-Zionist? Actually, in Wikipedia, which is the Jewish encyclopedia on the Internet, you find a crypto-Jewish is a Jewish person who makes believe he is not Jewish, or he is an Anglo, or he is somebody from the country he's living in. I'll give you a good example. John Kerry is crypto-Jewish. He is a Jewish gentleman who took the name Kerry because it sounded more Anglo. But his name is Forbes, and his name is John Forbes Kerry. And the same with Howard Dean, another one. There are thousands of them across the country. But we've also got our whole group of them in 9/11. What, as far as we've been able to figure out, we've got many, many dozens of them working against us, including Mr. Mufkafka, who is Scott Mufkafka, who is also Victor Thorne, who is also a crypto-Zionist. And his attempt recently to characterize me as crazy, which is what he tried to do in his hit piece, failed miserably. People saw right through that. But there is a reason why people do that, and you have to understand the causes of these kinds of slander attacks. First of all, he said that I was sitting with a loaded shotgun across my lap, which was ludicrous because I don't own that type of rifle. And in fact, I do have a rifle, but I've never told anybody. I had it sitting across my lap, and certainly, he was characterizing me as a paranoid nut. He also had his crypto girlfriend over there, another nut job, is saying that I was up in my attic and I should be staying there because I'm crazy, which, ladies and gentlemen, that certainly isn't the case, because there were people that had visited my home, which, by the way, there are written police reports on the incidents of this happening, including my neighbor calling about it, and I didn't know it, that this had happened. She her dog was getting restless in the middle of the night, and she looked out her kitchen window, and there is somebody at just 3:45 in the morning poking all around the outside of my house. Now, that doesn't sound strange to people living in a city, but considering I've got about 150 people in a 10-mile radius of me, that's very bizarre. Now, interesting to note that all this stuff, they attempted to make it sound like I was the person having these delusions, which, of course, was never the case here. And it was a slander attempt to try to discredit me, of course, but also set me up for a possible, who knows, Arkanside? Oh, he was despondent and got rid of himself, like Gary Webb or like the hundreds of others who, over the last decade and a half under Clinton and the rest, have mysteriously shot themselves twice or thrown themselves out windows and stuff like this, you know. Certainly, in each of those instances, they tried to set those individuals up as not being stable to begin with. And then they said, look, he was despondent, and this is what happened. So, you know, when you're over the target, guys, you get flack. It's just the way it works. I knew what I was signing up for when I did this. I knew that I was going to get problems that are arising. I knew it. I'm a big boy, and I can take the heat. And I'm certainly not afraid to be honest with my listeners. And I'm not afraid of these people. We're beating them. They're petrified right now. Guys, in Europe right now, they've got Nazi propaganda films saying that, you know, they all kinds of stuff about how the Jews were eaten alive and they were thrown out of this and crushed into that. And I mean, and every single channel. The only reason they would throw this much stuff out on the airwaves about this subject is because the traction is starting to frighten them. We are getting the truth out. They are, the American public and the European public are waking up to what these people have done and are doing and are going to do. And we have to not give up here. We have hope. This is the first sign of hope. And it's, the hope I'm getting is their panic. The hope I'm getting is the attacks I'm taking from these cryptos in the 9/11 movement. This is certainly a good sign. Now, I will tell each and every one of you out there that half the Jewish community doesn't even realize what the other half has done in their name. Most of Jewish people today are not super adherent to their religion. They are marrying outside of their religions. Many of them are marrying Christian Gentiles in America and in Europe. And the situation is that many, many, many Jewish people are not part of this at all. We do not paint with a broad brush on the French Connection. I am not racist. I am calling criminals what they are, criminals. And it's just that simple. Keep tuned in, ladies and gentlemen. We got lots more to come on the French Connection. And the guest, Eric Hufschmidt, at the bottom of this half hour. I'll be right back. Gentlemen, we're back. Darryl Bradford Smith, your host today. We've got lots of information for you coming up, and you know, I want to pull on your coat about a few things here. I mean, we've been doing some investigating here about how this system works, the control system that's been put in place. It's actually got a political arm, and it has a spiritual arm. The political arm has always been exercised through its financial control. It is also how they have controlled the media through purchasing large companies and merging them with other companies and getting the governments of certain states, such as the United States, to be bought off through PAC money, political action committee money, to make favorable legislation for them to consolidate their grip on the media. And as it stands right now, there are very, very few independent medias left in the world. Now, what they've done with this media is promoted their agenda, which is a continual bombardment of their propaganda. And what we end up with is a system that, well, the political side of it is paving the way for what they've got planned on this spiritual side. Now, if you want to know what spiritual side I'm talking about, when Eric comes up, we're going to discuss some of these things. But it's horrendous in the extreme. We're going to discuss what some of the points are. And I'm going to ask people who have knowledge in this area, maybe they can call in and bring some of their expertise to it. I know I have a lot of very well-educated listeners that listen to The French Connection. And it is, it's diabolical, this plan they've got. It is treachery beyond anything I can even fathom because, look, guys, what's planned for us is nothing short of enslavement. You know, Alex Jones characterizes it as a New World Order or other things, but he and we have differing terms for this mess. However, the enslavement he talks about and what I talk about is just that, ladies and gentlemen. You will be enslaved. You will be controlled. And if you are not on the list of good people they don't like, if you're on the bad list, you will be FEMA camped and eliminated. They have imploded nations in the past. And I'll give you a good example of what they did to France. They used the Jacobins, financed them, created the Reign of Terror under Robespierre, murdered many, many of the king's control points in the nation, destroyed the entire structure of French society, re-implemented their own control agents, gave birth to Napoleon, and then tried a one-world government under him. He failed miserably over and over again, and they kept financing his next foray. Finally, on his assault against Russia, he finally failed for the final time in Waterloo, but Russia defeated him, lost all these young men from France, murdered millions of people across Europe. And then, ladies and gentlemen, they tried another thing to implode France's economy in 1840. And then they did it in 1860. You remember the book Les Misérables, where there was starvation and killing in the streets. That was these people's influence on the French society. You want to know what they did to Russia? 4,000 Zionists entered that nation. Only 4,000. Imploded it, pilfered it, destroyed it, locked down its borders, and kept it in tyranny until this day. Now, they believe they were given freedom in 89. Maybe some of them could move around the world a little bit. But the simple truth of the matter is that their nation had been pilfered, that the monies that were once in that nation, a very nation full of incredible natural wealth, was pretty much sectioned off, chopped up, and shipped out. And, the number of dead in the last century, I've said this before on the show, 100 million, ladies and gentlemen, 100 million. The Armenian murders of propagated and pushed forward by the Young Turks, who, by the way, were crypto-Jewish agents within the Sultan's government, who took over with outside money, became very prominent within a generation, and then had the attacks ordered against the Armenians because they were a threat to the southern flank of the Khazar group in central Ukraine and Georgia and Armenia and that area. And to this day, the Turks, as a people, have been blamed for that because the truth has never been allowed out. When we look at these historical events, we look at the things that the people who were in charge of Nazism and who worked closely with these people, who financed it, who put up the monies. And today, to even look into it, they try to paint you with the brush of anti-Semite. That's like saying that because you've identified the Italian mafia as being a criminal organization, you are now committing racism against Italians. That's the exact same thing. How nonsensical is that? and that if you even look into the mafia, you go to jail for being a racist against Italians. Well, that's insane. And yet, the exact same thing, exactly, not even a variation, exact, has the same consequences if we look into these folks. Now, in France here, we've got some very, very famous people coming out, including Abbé Pierre. He's a priest, most famous priest in Europe, certainly in France, said that these people are liars and that they have committed these crimes through history, and he admitted it. Now, of course, they tried to savage him in the press because they own the French press just like they do the American press, but it didn't get much traction, the savaging of Abbé Pierre. In fact, they placed it on all their airwaves, they put it in all their talking heads, and still the public in France, they know. My father-in-law knows. The neighbors know. They know what happened here. They know what's continuing to happen here. They know what's going on in America as well. And yet they won't tell you that on the shows. You would think that no one knows this. Well, they do. That's why they're worried. They're putting their propaganda up on every channel. The Arab communities across Europe are very aware of it. London is starting to feel the pressure. America is under pressure. The nations in the Western world are beginning to realize that these people have perpetrated a horrendous fraud against them, murdered them, pilfered them, robbed them, enslaved them, crushed them, turned them into hedonists, and destroyed their religious faiths, and just turned them in their moral compass into a rudderless ship on a stormy sea, ladies and gentlemen. And what we've got now is an extraordinarily dangerous moment in history where these people, as trapped rats, will begin to unleash untold problems on us all. And they are beginning this journey into these horrors as we speak. When will they do it? I don't know. How will it come about? Not sure of that either. However, I am sure who's doing it, and I am sure of their goals. Hang on to your hats. Get ready. We've got a fight on our hands, and I'm ready for a battle. So you stick with me. We'll fight it together. Darrell Bradford Smith. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, if you hear the tooting sounds of jazz, it must be the French Connection, because that's what we do here. We do jazz. We do truth. We do fight. We do fight, 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 just like, you know. See, it is an American spirit that I'm trying to give re-energizing to here, a rebirth, as it were, to the spirit of America's past. And, boy, it would be wonderful to see the nation begin to swarm around these realities and fight back in mass. And I think we can do it. I think we will do it. I believe it. I believe it that this is something our country is ready to do. And, you know, everybody who's out there realizes almost intuitively what I've been reporting is accurate. They know it because they've seen the results of this mess and this nightmarish scenario every night on their television played out forever. And, you know, my partner and I have been working on this, and every time we tried to figure out if it was another rabbit hole, it always went back to the same group. Every time. We couldn't get away from it. Not here in the 9/11 movement, not in the mainstream press, not in our political structure, and not in the world, ladies and gentlemen. We tried to make sure that it wasn't someone else. It never has been. It's this group. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Eric, you know, the war is on, man. I mean, you know, we're battling, and it seems pretty obvious to you and I because we've seen this nightmare developing. We've watched the facts where they lie. We've done the research. We've looked into the background. Why can't we get traction?
Well, the why part is pretty hard, but I think it's because they're not just dominating the media. They're dominating the Internet, which is where most people are really get lost there because they can't believe all of these truth seekers are actually working against them, and they just don't expect it. You know, you look on the Internet for the truth. That's what they keep saying. It's the alternative. That's where you can go to get away from the New York Times and all. And a lot of people just can't grasp this concept that so many of these people are actually liars.
Yeah,
And then, see, the biggest, another very important problem that we face is that when you try to tell people about this, you get these accusations. Oh, you're dividing the movement. You shouldn't talk about other people like that. You know, that's wrong. And, you know, this is nonsense. This is another deception technique. We have every right to investigate the people who are trying to influence our world. You know, these so-called truth seekers, they are trying to tell us what's going on in the world. They're trying to tell us who our government is and who's behind September 11th. These people are putting themselves voluntarily into a position of...
That's what you're saying. They're not. Most of them are voluntary.
Well, I mean, they've chosen to do this. I mean, is what I mean. The people in these 9/11, these so-called truth groups, you know, they chose to become part of the groups. You know,
yeah, but why are so all the researchers from a single religious and racial group? Why?
Oh, that's another issue. But what I'm saying is that, you know, they came forward. They came forward on their own. We didn't make them do this. They came forward to pretend to be truth seekers, and we have every right to look at who are they. You know, these people want to influence us. And then when you look at them, that's one thing you will find is, why are so many of them? Some are dual citizenship, some are Israelis, some are... You can't figure out who they are, but there's a lot of them that are Jewish. And is this a coincidence?
Well, I mean, considering that all the roads point to them in the conspiracy of 9/11 and the overthrow of our government, and we've got three rabbis that were working at the highest level, level of our government.
Yeah, you know, some of the callers to these type of shows, one of them will mention George Bush was recently seen in a car with a Chinese driver or something. You know, all you got to get is one Chinese person in our government, and people are like, look at that, a Chinaman. What's he doing? What's that Chinaman doing? Meanwhile, we got rabbis all over the place. We got Chertoff, who may be a dual citizenship between his Israel and America. He's got his nephew firing, or not nephew, whatever, his cousin of some sort, firing people at Popular Mechanics and writing hit pieces on all of us. People don't think anything strange about that.
Well, and then they bring Yevgeny Premakov, whose name is Pincus, over to the United States, another Jewish gentleman from the Stasi and Soviet era, and he's setting up the Homeland Security espionage system, and he happens to be from the same religious and ethnic order. And you start figuring this out, and you go, 50% of the Bush White House is from this group, and all of the benefits are going to this single country. And you start saying to yourself, my goodness, how could anybody – there are no Catholic priests involved in this. There's no Catholic priests in the Bush White House. There's no reverends. I haven't seen a single minister involved in his White House.
Right. And then you have to ask yourself, for the last several decades that all of we've been pouring money into the Middle East and killing all these Arabs, who is that for? What is it? The Pope is telling us to do this? Who is sending those American troops over there right now? Who at the Pentagon and the White House – is responsible for pushing that? You know, it's not the Catholic priests. It's not the City of London. People will sometimes blame the City of London. We used to hear that on our tour when we were in with Jimmy Walter on the tour during summer. That's what you have to hear from Webster Tarpley all the time. Oh, the City of London. Well, the City of London, what is that? That's like saying the City of Washington, D.C. or the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's not a person. We need to, you know, name the names. Who is in the City of London? It doesn't mean anything to say the City of London. That's like saying the Illuminati or the aluminum Nazis. Or, you know, we've got to be specific. What is the City of London? And you'll find, well, it's some of these bankers and some of these, well, who are they? Then you pull up Rothschilds, then you get some more of these rabbis, and it's the same group, like a Zionist mafia is what you can call it. You know, it's not, they're not just ordinary Jews. It's like a mafia. It's like an organized crime.
And I want to be fair, because I made a statement early on, Eric, that about 50% of the Jewish community in America, they don't know about any of this stuff.
Well, the ones
they don't
know.
Eric, half of them are marrying outside of their religion.
Well, I know some, yeah.
They're not part of this mess.
I know. I got like a neighbor that's done that. She married outside of, she married somebody who wasn't Jewish, and most of them have no clue what's going on. A lot of them don't even know what Zionism is. That's
right.
What's amazing. A lot of Jews have no idea what it really is. They just think, well, I guess it has something to do with Israel. I mean, they don't really understand it. And you ask them, well, who's Dov Zakheim? Who? They don't even know if this guy has lost $2 trillion from their and our tax money.
Yeah.
They don't even know this. Most people have no clue at all, because all they're doing is they're trusting the New York Times and Newsweek and all the rest of this, and then you have to look at who runs those media companies. It's the same group again.
Yeah. And what we've recently discovered is there's a political arm and a controlling spiritual arm, isn't there, Eric?
Yeah, it's a very confusing group, but, I mean, it looks like you've got this super religious group in there dictating something or other. Exactly what's going on is confusing. We're going to
Who's the rabbi that was controlling the White House for the first term of Bush there, the spokesman?
Ari Fleischman,
a Lubavitch rabbi, wasn't he?
Well, that's how you see him described, that Lubavitcher. That's how they describe him. And Ari Fleischer. So, yeah, you've got these people up there, and you have to imagine, if he had been Chinese, they'd be making remarks. All you got to do is get one Chinese guy to drive Bush around a car, and you got people making remarks. And yet,
yeah.
Look at this. Rabbis in our government, dual citizenships sometimes in our government.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to plumb the depths here with Eric. We've got lots to talk about. And we're going to take one of those calls when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Daryl Bradford Smith, your host today. Got another hour and 15 minutes to go before the end of the program, so we've got lots to talk about with Eric Hushman. Eric, I've already got a couple of callers online here. I got a guy from Pennsylvania. Fred, you're on the air. You got a question for Eric?
Well, this is the first time I've called your show.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome me to your show, Daryl.
Well, welcome there.
Okay. What kind of... first of all, I'm on your side on the issues and on the philosophy you have. But I haven't seen in a book form, in a way that I can digest, a biography of Bill Clinton and the 130, persecutions or acts of violence that he seems to have inflicted on people
You mean arcanides and murders and stuff?
Yeah, I'm willing to consider all of that, but for some reason the list of that aren't, the people that are talking about it aren't articulated or it hasn't been pulled together. What book can you name that I can go out and get will really educate me and prove all of this? Because we know that it only takes one proven scandal of violence or graft or murder that can derail someone like this, but how come he hasn't been derailed over all this time?
Well, I can't. I mean, honestly, I haven't spent a whole lot of time picking apart Bill Clinton's murder spree. However, I've heard about it, and whether or not there is accuracy to it, I know Vince Foster has been thoroughly investigated and found to be a very suspicious death. I know Ron.
Is this guy Pritchard Jones? He seems to be pretty good. There was a great juicy article in Atlantic about 10 years ago on him, on Clinton, by Pritchard, Ambrose Pritchard somebody.
Well, maybe. And you know, Ron Brown was murdered from what people are describing as well.
Yeah.
I'm not certain, maybe I'll get an email sent to me from somebody, and you know, this is the way that we do this on the French Connection.
Right.
What I'll do is I'll post on my site, if someone does email me, a book list on those particular facts, and Fred, I'll have that on my website. You can take a look at it.
No, I want to switch gears, talk about 9/11 for a second, because in looking at Rick, the documentary on New York City, Rick Burns' documentary, which was on PBS.
Mm.
You had a very high-quality still photograph of a jet that was going to crash into one of the Twin Towers, and it had one of those, like an AWACS type of a bulge at the back tail area, not in the rudder area, but at the back fuselage area.
Well, that would be, I'll turn that over to Eric. Eric, what do you got for that one?
Well, that's part of this whole thing of they were bringing up. Maybe there's something attached to it, or maybe it's a Boeing tanker.
No, in the documentary, this isn't like an ephemeral piece of evidence. This is a still photograph, color, of one of the jets that crashed into it, and the photograph focuses on the jet. It's clear, and it has something that shouldn't be on a passenger jet.
Well, that's right. This is that big argument over what kind of plane hit it, and it's one of these things you can argue with forever. It's a waste of our time to even discuss it, because it's like arguing what kind of bullet hit Kennedy, and it's like arguing what about those deaths of Clinton? There's some information on the internet about that, but you say you want a book about it. It is so difficult to sell books on even 9/11 that why would someone even waste their time? It's all, putting a book together. You can't sell it. You can't get information. There may be some, and you don't even know it.
And you can't get an admission from the government. That's what you mean.
You can't get the government shot. They helped kill President Kennedy. It doesn't do any good.
I know.
I mean, come on. And to argue over this plane thing, let's move past it.
I'm not arguing. I'm only saying that if this is in Rick Burns' documentary, New York City, and it is bizarre. It's more than an anomaly. It's something that is part of the structure of the jet. It's about 28 feet wide.
Yeah.
It's not as big as an AWACS bulge, but it's a moderate size.
There's a whole forum about this. Let's Roll 911. Phil Jahan has a whole forum where you can discuss this. They've been discussing it for years. It's not something you can prove because the photographs are not conclusive enough. It's a waste of time.
So it has the photograph, in your opinion, would have to have provenance. It would have to have.
It doesn't even matter whether it was or wasn't. I mean, what good does it do to say there is one?
What I want you to understand, Fred, and thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Eric. When we're talking about these kinds of issues, we already know that this was an inside job, and what you and I have done is moved on from that battle, and we're going to leave the battle of who did what, when, where, and how to the historians. And we're in a desperate time in our history. We need to start getting the culprits identified, because things are developing fast. Would you agree with that?
Well, yes, and I think part of the reason they're getting away with this is they keep distracting people with this stuff like, well, what kind of plane was it? Where are the wingtips? They keep getting stuck on this. People have to realize, get a brain. It doesn't matter what kind of plane hit. It doesn't matter. We've got to start dealing with the question of what are we going to do with our lives and our future. You've got people, they're still being sent over there to the Middle East for a war, for crying out loud. When are we going to stop getting caught in these silly traps and move on?
Well, when we come back, we got Stuart from New York on the line. Sorry, Stuart, for the holdup there. Ladies and gentlemen, we got more from Eric Hufschmidt and Daryl Bradford Smith and the French Connection. Stick with us. And, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Daryl Bradford Smith with you today. I am the witness. .com is the website. Lots and lots and lots of stuff on that site, ladies and gentlemen. All kinds of research and op-ed pieces, news items, everything you can name. You go there and you will be blown away by what you read. Eric, we got another call from Stuart in New York. Stuart, you're up.
Good afternoon. I'm really appreciative of both you and Eric. A few folks actually did work on exposing the truth about 9/11. It's abundantly clear that what the government and the mass media have told us certainly doesn't come anywhere as near to the truth. However, that being said, as a Jewish person who's on, I would consider myself on the good side, the tone of things is a little bit frightening for me right now.
It is, and that's why I try to make the caveats, and I've tried to enlist, Stuart, can I tell you, I've tried to enlist new Turicarta in my program. I've tried to do this so that we don't end up with a kind of a backlash. I don't want that.
Exactly. I don't think that will happen. It seems that initially the Muslim people were made the patsy.
Yeah.
And now it looks like that they've got this so ingeniously planned that when the truth comes out that they didn't have anything to do with it, or at least not to the extent that mass media and the government want us to believe that they did, next in line are going to be the Jews. I mean, after all, on the surface anyway, it looks like Jewish people in the state of Israel seem to have benefited the most from this, and that's why I'm a little bit suspicious, because it's too easy. I mean,
Stuart, I got to tell you something. Look, we've got 2% Jewish community in America and 60% in our government. We've got the whole entire media owned and operated by the same community. It's more than a coincidence that we're being lied to by a thoroughly and completely Jewish-controlled media. The fact of the matter is, yes, it is benefiting Israel, and yes, I don't think that's a mistake. I think it's by design. What I want to protect against is the Jewish community that has had no part in planning this stuff, and they don't support that stuff. They're not part of this stuff. I mean, I know the Cohen family in my hometown. I know the Sandler family. I know the Shaman family. I know these people. They didn't have anything to do with this, and I'll be darned if I'm going to allow those people to be blamed for something they didn't do. But the fact is, the leadership is responsible.
Well, we can bring the truth out.
Let's find out.
I'd like to ask Eric. You know, he had mentioned that most Jews don't know what Zionists are, and I'm raising my hand here. I always thought that a Zionist was just a person who wanted to establish Israel as a homeland, but it seems that there may be a lot more to it than that. I'm here to learn. Please, what is the definition of a Zionist? Yes, it seems to me that it's another word for like a Jewish mafia.
Well, that's what the connotation has taken on, Fred. I mean, Stuart. Eric, you want to explain what you feel this
Well, the original word was very pleasant. It was like, let's create a homeland for Jews. There's nothing wrong with that. It's like a bunch of Italians saying we should create a homeland for Italians, or Mormons saying let's have a homeland. There's nothing wrong with that. But what they ended up doing is deciding we're going to do it through warfare, deception, exploitation, sex slave sales, blackmail. It has turned into a criminal enterprise.
There you go. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we got a top-of-the-hour break. We've got lots more to come. Thank you, Stuart, for your call, and hang in there, my friend. We won't let innocent people be injured on this program. When we come back, we got lots more for you.